The following is a duplicate of Tape 3, Side 1 of an interview conducted with Dr. Arthur Chung for the Southern California Chinese American Oral History Project.
This is a picture of our class, the Chinese class. This is a teacher, Miss Lei, Tipping Lei. She's now teaching. She's now the dean of one of the law schools in China, in Peking. Mm-hmm. And these were all of my classmates. I think she's only in grammar school. And I was the oldest one, you see, in the class.
That's
1930 to 1931.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
That's the class. And there were only about six.
Well, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Yeah, 7. It's in private house, you mentioned.
Yeah, that's right. In a private house, because all of us, that is, our families, contributed a certain amount of money every month, because she was doing her master's degree in sociology at that time. Mm-hmm. And so it was a source of income for her, and also she would tell us Chinese. Mm-hmm. After school, every day after school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In Mandarin or in Cantonese?
Cantonese, because she was Cantonese.
And
would you like to talk a little bit about your contact and what you talk? The speech contact, the anti-foreignness?
Well, I took a speech class. It was called public speaking. In high school, I think from my first or the second, probably the second year, and my teacher was a Miss Whitman, who was very much interested in what's one, and so she asked me to enter the oratorical contest, and the subject that I used at that time was anti-foreignism, because I think I was encouraged to talk about that by my father, because my father was he was very much against prejudice of any kind. He himself had been the object of prejudice, because when he came over, he was during the Qing Dynasty, and he had a queue. And oftentimes, the children out in the streets would pull on his queue, and then would call him a Chinaman and so forth. So he was quite involved with this question of prejudice. And also, he felt that that China, although China was under the China had been exploited by foreign powers, still he felt that that there should be friendship between the different countries and China, and that they, so that he was, you might say that he was a pacifist in a sense, that he was against resistance against foreign powers. And so that was the subject of my talk at that time, on anti-foreignism. And I think the second, I entered this contest, and I represented the Los Angeles High School. It was the first eliminations here, to see who would represent LA High. Los Angeles High School, and I represented Los Angeles High School.
Were you the only Chinese contestant?
Yeah, I was the only Chinese. There were very few Chinese at that time. And then the finals for the, I think there was another elimination, and then finally there was a finals held at Manual Arts High School, and I got third place on that contest. Then the next year, I spoke on another subject. I spoke on truth and impressions, I think, or something like mm-hmm. that. And the idea of that was, I felt that, the subject was impressions or truth. Because at that time, again, many people had the wrong impressions of the Chinese. Mm-hmm. And so I spoke against these impressions and used the truth as against impressions. You know, they often talk about the Chinese with slanted eyes and yellow skin and all that, but that's not the truth. And I don't really recall exactly what I talked about, but it was that idea that one shouldn't be confused with impressions, but should look for the truth. That was the idea of the speech. And in that contest, I also won third prize. I never got the first, but I was always the third prize. What I did. Then, after graduation, I graduated in the winter of 1931. And at that time, I didn't have very much to do. And my father decided to open a branch of his herb store in Ventura. And so we rented a house, and I stayed in that house. Of course, he couldn't come except for one day a week by train from Los Angeles. And I would meet him at the train station and take him home in the family car. At that time, we had a car. And he would come once a week, and I would make all the appointments for the patients that wanted to see my father. And my father would see them in the day that he was in Ventura. And after, in the evening, I would take him to the station and he would take the train home. So that continued from February of 31 until about June or July.
Before you left?
Yeah, just before I left for Chennai. Yes.
And after you left and this closed?
Yes, my father closed down his branch after I left. There were not many patients because it's a small town, and he was not well known. There was another herb store opened by another Chinese traditional doctor there too in Ventura, and of course they had they were there before my father, so part of the patients there were most of them went over to that place.
So when you were in Ventura, the patients were Chinese or Americans?
Entirely.
Is there only an office? This branch is only an office, or you actually sell herbs too?
Yeah, we sell herbs as well. He had a room with those little jars of the herbs, and we would boil the herbs there, but also have them take it home.
So you help with that,
selling
the herbs?
Yeah. So that was it.
This is the end of the duplicate of tape 3, side 1 of the interview with Dr. Arthur Chung.